Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Guess I gotta wake myself up here. It's Fantasy NBA Today. That's how I wake myself up. I yell something into a microphone. Yell, yell, yell. Okay. Shake them out. Shake out those limbs. Can't shake them too far because there's a wall right there. There's a bunch of stuff right there. I got no space. I got no space. Heaven help me. I got no space. I'm Dan Baspers. Thanks as always for hanging out with me. There's this sort of like regal us thing that happens. So thanks for hanging out with us. Who's us? It's just me. Anyway, what do we got? We got a Monday recap to do. Few things went down. Players came back from injury. Players went down. Josh Hart played all 48 damn minutes in yesterday's ball game. First time that's happened for the Knicks in like a dozen years, which honestly doesn't seem like long enough. That was my feeling when I saw that. I was like, oh, like a decade ago? Tom Thibodeau wasn't even the coach then. What sort of animal would do such a thing? Ah, well. So let's talk about it. Promo stuff at the beginning. Find me on Twitter, at Dan Baspers. Many of you are watching on Twitter. Some of you will hang out with us in a moment. I don't know. I'm out of sorts this morning, folks. Maybe I should have done the streaming show first. That one always wakes me up a little bit more because I'm like pouring through the names. Done a lot of that. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Let's see. Let's do this thing. Here you go. Start at the top, work our way through. Cleveland beat Indiana 108-103, a game that ended up a bit more low scoring than I originally thought it would. No Donovan Mitchell on the Cavaliers side. So Caris LeVert moves back into a startable position. He had a really nice ball game yesterday. Isaac Okoro, probably startable with no Donovan Mitchell. He wasn't great in this ball game, but typically gets you kind of that across the board stuff. George Niang filling in for Max Strus. That's a play you're making only if you need three pointers. I don't know where his four turnovers came from. Whoopsies. And that's kind of the story for the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell. If Spida comes back for their next ball game, you probably bench Caris LeVert. You almost definitely bench Okoro, and then Niang still likely gets you some three pointers. Not hugely impacted by Donovan either way. On the Pacers side, TJ McConnell continues to put up really nice lines these days. 21 points, 14 points, 3 boards, 4 assists. 21 minutes, I should say. 2 steals, that's the big thing with him. Always gets you 1 or 2 steals. That's just the McConnell way. And, you know, his minutes, I get it. They're not super high. He's a pretty consistent, like top 40, top 50 guy when he gets closer to starters minutes. But in 20, 21 minutes lately, he's been kind of in that 75 range, very consistently putting up lines just like this. I'll admit, I didn't think it was going to stick when he did it once or twice, but now we're like a dozen games into this. So have at it, man. TJ McConnell's a go. Aaron Nesmith cooled substantially. He's coming off a better ball game. He played 35 minutes. That's still a team high. I am not abandoning ship on Nesmith, mostly because he's getting the most minutes on the team. And basically anybody in the universe playing 35 minutes can get you some kind of fantasy value. So I'm hanging on there, and I have no other additional thoughts on the Indiana Pacers. I think we're going to move through this one a little bit quicker today. I say that, and then I know I'm going to get caught up on some game. That's the Dan Vespers way. Miami lost at Philadelphia. Still no Jimmy Butler. Duncan Robinson also injured partway through this ball game. He threw his back out. And that stinks. I don't know if that will cost him a game or not. The real shame of all of it, of course, is that, you know, with Miami, well, yeah, I mean, they're every other day this week. So, you know, not bad, I guess. Not good, not bad. They're fine. It'll be annoying if you have to dump him. They don't have a fantastic schedule. They're sort of at the tail end of a nice scheduling stretch. They had that weekend to yesterday back-to-back. Anyway, Caleb Martin moves into a starting valuation. If Duncan Robinson is out, there's just then kind of enough stuff, and he probably would get the start in that next ball game if he's out, unless they go Nikola Jovic instead, but that felt like it was more the Haywood-Highsmith situation. Pulling back just a tiny bit here, because we can get into the weeds from time to time. The key things are, in this iteration, let's say Duncan Robinson is out. Let's say he misses a ball game and Jimmy Butler misses another one. I don't know. He might. He may or may not. If Butler's out, I would start Bam, Rozier, Caleb Martin, and Jaime Jaquez Jr. If Robinson is in, I would not start either Caleb Martin or Jaime Jaquez. I would start Duncan Robinson. You know what? Maybe I would go with Jaquez. I shouldn't go that far, because if he's filling in for Butler. If Butler's back and Robinson's out, then you probably just go Bam, Butler, and Rozier. Even though one of those guys, Jaquez or Caleb Martin, probably has a start, it's really just all about having enough to do. And when Butler's in there, all these guys lose out on all the stuff they get to do. That's that whole minutes versus actual opportunity discussion. That's not to say that Caleb Martin won't play 33, 34 minutes and get you sort of some stuff. But the thing that I like the most about this ballgame, forget the four steals, obviously that's the thing I like the most. The thing I like the most about Caleb Martin's game yesterday was that he took 14 shots. He was just involved on offense. Kelly Oubre finally exploded. This is kind of the game we've been sitting and waiting on, because the thing with Oubre, and his rank hasn't been all that great lately, but the thing with Oubre is when he plays this number of minutes and gets this number of shots, throughout his career, he's been 75 range or better, 9-cat. And he was like top 175 because he just wasn't shooting and the steals and blocks weren't there for whatever reason. Or he was shooting, he just wasn't making them, I should say. And then all of a sudden yesterday, they went in. He got a bunch of blocks, hit a couple threes, even got some rebounds. This is why. There's going to be some sort of leveling with him. The hope was that it was going to come before the season ended, and we got a little bit of a taste of it yesterday. Maxey obviously is a go, and then no one else on this team, in my opinion, is a guaranteed go. You guys have heard me on the show lately talk about how I have this weird, like, sinking feeling around Paul Reed lately, mostly because he's coming off the bench. Yes, going up against Bam Adebayo was probably the big reason that he didn't put up much in the way of numbers yesterday. Technically, I'll say it again, technically, over since Embiid went down, Reed has been a startable fantasy player. But it feels like it's trending the wrong way. And it also kind of feels like the numbers haven't really caught up with that. Like, his minutes have been going down, and his role's been going down, and somehow he's still going in that, like, 100 range. Over the last week, though, it's starting to tip the other way. I like the one steal and one block over that stretch. 23 minutes, though, is pretty low. 8-7 is probably not enough to get it done, even with one steal and one block. And the field goal percent is weirdly lower that over that stretch as well. The nice thing about Paul Reed is that he has a very high floor because he just has a good fantasy game. He's a good percentages guy, tends to be decent in both percentages, and he gets steals and blocks and rebounds. When you can do all of those things, you don't have to be very good in the other stuff to maintain some semblance of fantasy value. And that's why he's never going to be like an outright drop. even when his minutes are low, even when his production slows a little bit. He's never going to be an obvious outright drop. He's always going to be, in my opinion, kind of hovering in maybe that kind of doesn't matter group, like 100 to 150 range type. And that's startable in a lot of formats. It's definitely startable if you need a center. I just still have this feeling like something is ticking the wrong way, and you've had a few of those lately. Mo Bamba had 4 defensive stats and 2 three-pointers, but he only played 18 minutes, so nope. Kyle Lowry finally hit a few shots. Call it a revenge game, call it whatever you want. He's typically just an assists and steals guy, and he did get you his steals here. He just happened to take a couple of shots, so nope. Let's move on. I said we were going to go fast, and then I got kind of caught up on that ball game for a minute. Detroit blown out by Boston. Isaiah Stewart, who was a nice schedule play, left with a sore hamstring. We have no idea how bad it is. Detroit didn't give a very good indicator, but he did leave halfway through the ball game, so assumption is that it's not great. But also, Detroit was getting knocked around every which way but sideways, so there's sort of no reason to extend him. And this is annoying because Detroit is sitting on a pretty good scheduling spot. One of the best, starting on Sunday, actually. They had 6 games in 9 days, had 4 this week, and then they also start next week with a game. So Isaiah Stewart was set to be a pretty good pickup for a nice 9-day spell. You might have to move off him because you just can't take zeros. And I don't know that we're going to get any info on him today. So you're in a little bit of a tight spot. You can try to wait until tomorrow to get more info on him. But by that point, you ice yourself out on any teams that go 4 times the rest of this week. By the way, there's only one. It's the Pelicans. So not a ton of great streaming options there. There are plenty of teams that have 3 games starting tomorrow, and so you could pivot off of Stewart getting, like, if he gets ruled out partway through tomorrow, you're looking at it and you're going, okay, so 2-game max then, if he gets ruled out tomorrow. You could turn that into a 3-game week. Stewart might end up being a 1 or a 0. Or you go today, you assume he misses the rest of the week, you pick up a fringe Pelican, and then you end up getting 4 games versus 3, but probably 4 not as good. That's the decision you're sitting on right now. And unfortunately, I don't have a great answer for you. I don't know if Stewart's going to play tomorrow. I'm guessing less than a 50% shot. But it would be great to be able to save that roster move.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No Cade in this one. No Fontecchio in this one. No Azar Thompson still, who's dealing with his lung/asthma/whatever's going on there. So, not surprisingly, Detroit got run out of the building. Stanley Amude played 34 minutes in this one. Jaden Ivey is a play when Cade sits. He had 21, 5, and 5. James Wiseman got 26 minutes for, I don't even really know what reason, just blowout. Jalen Duren obviously is a guy you hold on to. Marcus Sasser got a start. He was meh. Don't read too much into this ballgame. I would expect to see Cade back in the next one. I'd expect to see Fontecchio or Thompson back pretty soon. And then, of course, if Stewart goes out, then other guys get shifted around. We'll, I guess, kind of see. No ads for me out of Detroit. Unless we get some kind of word, like, if Stewart is out, and they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's going to miss a week or something like that, then you can start looking and say, all right, well, maybe Evan Fournier, maybe they run a little small, he had a terrible shooting game. I don't think any of these guys' profile is a roto play, but head-to-head, because of the decent schedule, there's some shot at it. Boston, they're in the midst of a very good scheduling run. They are right after game two of their 5-7, so they're off tonight. They play tomorrow, off Thursday, and then they've got a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. And the nice thing about Boston, the reason we should talk about them, is because you're going to get a game like this one, possibly two. If you've been listening to this show, you're well aware of how Boston's been utilizing their players in these recent back-to-backs. If you're new to the program, Boston is sitting basically half their starters on the front end of a back-to-back and half their starters on the other. So in this ball game, Jason Tatum got the day off, Al Horford got the day off, and Drew Holiday got the day off. So you got Porzingis came back, by the way, so that was something. You got Luke Kornet sliding in for a big lineup situation. You got Peyton Pritchard sliding in for Holiday at the point guard spot. And then with Sam Hauser out, you got some bonus Jaden Springer and Svi Mykhailiuk minutes off the bench, but that's a big fat who cares. I bring this up because tomorrow they'll play their regular starters, so Pritchard will be your, you know, 20-22 minute guy off the bench. That's not enough for Roto. But their Friday, Saturday back-to-back, Pritchard profiles as a guy you could probably play in both of those. I don't think I would go Kornet in both of those, not with Horford and Porzingis both healthy now. But if we get word that Sam Hauser's back before that back-to-back, he'd be someone you could play there as well. Just as something to look ahead to, either head-to-head or Roto, whatever direction you want to go, those guys do have appeal on that back-to-back for Boston. Portland made a game of it in Chicago, and that's really all that their fans can ask for right now. Play competitive basketball and then lose in the end. That's the perfect way to do it. Matisse Thybulle came back, didn't last very long. His ankle soreness forced him out early. Timani Kamara played 14 and a half minutes and was awful in a starting gig. I mean, and then most of what's going on here with Portland is streamables. Ayton and Simons are the only guys you play every day. Banton played 33 minutes off the bench. Chauncey Billups liked what he was doing better. He had 5 defensive stats, which is kind of weird for him. I am not comfortable playing Banton against a Roto games cap. Yes, for schedule stream, you know, Jabari Walker slides back in as a possible schedule stream. Scoot, schedule stream. Even Kamara, I don't think he's this bad again. Chris Murray. Portland has a lot of options, and they have a really good schedule, and they've had a really good schedule for a while. They had a 5-7 mixed in there, and then went back into an every other day position before they have another back-to-back later this week. We kind of need, and Thybulle going out is actually kind of helpful because we do need them to thin the herd a tad. See how it goes. You're not playing those other guys against the games cap. Chicago's an easy one. They have 4 startable players right now. Kobe White would be the 5th when he comes back. So DeRozan, Io, Vooch, Caruso. Those 4 guys, that's it. You're not playing Torrey Craig. You're not playing Andre Drummond. You're not playing Dalen Terry. You're not playing Batum. You're not playing Javon Carter. Easy. Minnesota, Utah. This one, not easy. This is a very confusing game in so many ways. And largely because I have no idea who's going to play in the next one for either of these teams. We can, again, sort of make our best guesses on that, but shrug. Anthony Edwards posterized John Collins and poked him in the face in the process, and Collins left with a facial bruise, basically. We don't know if he's going to be available for Utah's next ball game. What a huge letdown for folks that have Jazz. I had Jordan Clarkson on a points league team. I was sitting and waiting for this 5-7 thinking, here we go, baby. Nope. John Collins missed one. Now he misses a half of another. He might miss another one. Nope. Markkanen came back. I guess that's something. Let's start with Utah because they're annoying and I want to knock them out first here. So Markkanen's a start. Keontae George is a start. Walker Kessler is a start. Those are the 3 that are very obvious and also healthy. John Collins, if he plays, very much a start. Beyond that, it's a little bit of a coin flip. Taylor Hendricks started to play 28 minutes in this game. He had 8-6 with a couple 3s, a steal, and a block. I don't think that's good enough in head-to-head, or in Roto, excuse me. It is good enough as a schedule play. Taylor Horton Tucker, pass. Chris Dunn, typically kind of an assist-steals type. So head-to-head, specialist appeal. With Markkanen back, Sensabaugh is no longer interesting. Although if Collins now sits out, then maybe everybody slides up a notch. Clarkson is someone I would play, obviously, on the head-to-head side because you're just trying to rack up stats. But Roto, I'm not now that Markkanen is back. Because a lot of the appeal with Clarkson was with Markkanen out, Jordan was going to get 18 shots a ball game, and then he could sort of overwhelm his nine-category pitfalls. Now Markkanen's back. But again, I have no idea who's going to play in Utah's next ball game. They got a back-to-back Wednesday, Thursday on the road. They play Saturday as well. Still have a decent schedule this week. So try to hang on a little bit longer if you can, just to see if any of these guys are ready for the back-to-back. And if they're not, you might have to start cutting. Minnesota. Infirmary. The Minnesota infirmary right now. They're hanging in there, though. You know, to the Wolves' credit, they're losing bodies left and right, and they're hanging tough. Wolves are a half game back of the Thunder for the top record in the Western Conference, mostly because they've played an extra game. Nuggets also a half game back of the Thunder. That's a race to the finish, those three teams. Nuggets really look like the best team in the West, maybe in the NBA, frankly, again. They have a slightly harder schedule than the teams that they're right there with, but I may have misplaced that. Thunder, for a long time, had the easiest remaining schedule. I don't know if that's still the case. That's why I was looking and I didn't find a spot to maybe put like just $10 on the Thunder to have the best record, the one seed in the West. Couldn't find it. Admittedly, I didn't look all that hard. I know, lazy. Okay, so Naz Reid hurt partway through this ball game, head injury. We don't know if he's going to be back for their next one, which is tonight, mind you. So this is all very relevant if you can make a move for this evening. The guys that we know are upright of the usual starters for this team are Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, and Mike Conley. All three of those guys, in my opinion, are very easy yeses in all formats tonight, assuming Gobert and Naz Reid are both still out. We don't know for sure. Gobert was talking about how he was still feeling soreness yesterday, so I'd be kind of surprised if he just magically wasn't today. But again, anything is possible. So assuming Gobert and Naz Reid are out, those three starters are good to go. I would also play Kyle Anderson because he's spot starting now. And I know I've said that I'm not into him this year, but with this many guys out, there's just so much left over that him playing 30-some-odd minutes, that's enough. He'll just do enough in those minutes. And then I would probably consider Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who has a pretty interesting fantasy game. Not great in terms of percentages, so you just sort of hope that those don't blow a hole in you. But like, this is a dude who had 3 steals, 2 blocks, 3 threes, 4 boards, 5 assists in yesterday's ballgame. And if Reid is out, honest to goodness, I don't even know what they... does he start at center? I can't imagine he starts at center. They probably just go very, very small. Does that mean Kyle Anderson is their small ball center? Maybe. Even if Garza starts, again, he's only playing like 11 minutes here. That like these other guys are going to get those minutes. So this is what I'm this is for Roto, by the way. I think you could play all those guys against a Roto games cap for their game tonight. And then head-to-head, you know, you're on your back-to-back here. Their schedule loosens up a bit after today. They're off for a bunch, and then they play, I think, Friday, Sunday or something like that. So I don't think that I would use a roster move today to get into the Wolves. But someone like a Jordan McLaughlin might take enough shots to be mildly fantasy relevant. That's probably about as far as I'd go beyond the names we already discussed. Memphis took Sacramento to overtime. Desmond Bain, 37 minutes. I guess that dude's healthy. JJJ fouled out in 39 minutes. Just couldn't get his shot going. And, you know, you started to see here basically a 6-man rotation for Memphis. And maybe we get a little bit of consistency. Although, the situation for the Grizzlies is they tend to play their guys against the teams either where they know they're still going to probably lose or the teams that are sort of fighting for playoff positioning. So they're trying to play spoiler a little bit. And then when they can tank against other bad teams, they do. What I don't know about Memphis is what they're going to do with San Antonio, because that's a tank opponent. But also, you know, everybody wants to play against Wemby. So maybe you get the starters. here's where I'm sitting with Memphis right now. Things have drawn a bit more clear with their various two-way guys and G-leaguers sitting this one out, and you know, they're saving their availability a little bit. JJJ is obviously a go, as is Desmond Bane, when those guys are in the starting lineup. Santi Aldama has been playing better with better players around him. I'm still a little bit reticent to play him when JJJ is in, because I'd like for Aldama to get consistently double-digit shots, and he has been over the last few ball games. And you guys know I've been, I think, higher on him perhaps than I should be, but certainly higher than most, because he does a little bit of everything, and then you just pray his percentages don't tank you, which, you know, they've been okay the last three-four ball games. Would I play Aldama against a games cap? Probably not, unless I badly needed power forwardy kind of stats. I don't think I would play GG Jackson against the games cap either. He's running hot right now, but when he runs cold, it really gets ugly quick. Both those guys, by the way, you can play in head-to-head. I have no problem with that. Jake LaRavia, same story. I don't think I could use him against the games cap coming off the bench. Game played 41 minutes yesterday. Conchar, John Conchar is very interesting, but he became very interesting because Luke Kennard was out. We saw the previous game, Kennard started over Conchar, and it was Kennard that had, whatever it was, 9 points, nine assists or something like that. I love Conchar's nine-cat game. He gets steals, he gets blocks, he gets rebounds out of that guard position. He gets assists. He doesn't shoot very much, so you kind of have to be okay with that side. But he's like what Draymond Green was 3 years ago before he got super-duper slow and disinterested. Apologies, got some allergies today. So what do I do for Memphis' next ball game? Yeah, I don't know what Conchar's situation is going to be. I believe he missed this one for personal reasons, so he could very well be back. Or Kennard, I should say. If Luke is back in the next one, and it's basically the same starting five, but Kennard in there instead of Conchar, I'd probably play Kennard. I don't think, and this is, again, against the games cap, I don't think I would play Conchar against the games cap. I don't think I would go Gigi. I don't think I would go Aldama. All of those guys would be fine on head-to-head if they're in there. Same story with LaRavia. But I don't know that we're going to know who's playing for them until like 2 hours before the game happens.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For the Kings, Kevin Huerter got injured. I don't want to say hurt. That's bad. Left early. How about that? Left early. And then it was Keon Ellis time, who came on and played 34 minutes and had six defensive stats. He's gone sort of full Matisse Thybulle mode. If you need defensive stats, Keon Ellis is your man, because I don't think Herter's back for the next one. Sacramento has a really good schedule starting tomorrow. They go 5 games in 7 days. If your league continues beyond this week, he would be very interesting and has a shot. Like, you know, I don't know how long Herter's going to be out. I'm guessing at least one game, maybe more than that. But Ellis was picking up more minutes anyway of late. Like, he's a guy you could get three defensive stats out of in each of those games. So 5 games at that rate, you know, 15 defensive stats over a week is massive. Head-to-head, roto, whatever you're targeting here, that's massive. So keep a very close watch on Keon Ellis. I think he's a worthwhile pickup for tomorrow. And then Malik Monk continuing to rumble along here. He started slowly, got really hot, got very cold, and now he's been very useful, hot-ish again for the better part of about a month. So keep that going. And you're seeing more Fox Ellis Monk minutes with Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis. and Harrison Barnes losing out a little bit there. And look, I mean, this is why I think every analyst on earth was saying, don't buy in on the Harrison Barnes stuff. And if anybody was saying the opposite, bring him to me. I'll sit him down and have a talking to. Here's the silly one of the night. Josh Hart, 48 full minutes. Is anybody surprised he shot less than 30%? 10, 11, and 11. He had a triple-double, sort of like the empty triple-double. But 48 minutes, come on. Come on, Thibs. Don't you know you're going to need Josh Hart to be able to stand on his own 2 feet come playoff time? Poor guy's going to die out there. But don't worry, Miles McBride also played almost 48 minutes. He rested for a minute 29. Which, by the way, surprising twist here. They went McBride, presumably to deal with Steph Curry. I thought, and we all thought, and I wasn't at the computer when this game started because that's the late games here. Those always happen when I'm right in the middle of family time before the kids go to bed. Knicks dropped their starting lineup. I'm looking at it like, whoop, where's Precious? No Precious. 18 minutes for Achiuwa. Just not a reasonable matchup for him. I do think that, and we don't really know the deal with OG Anunoby. The Knicks schedule is pretty crummy this week, actually. They're off for 2 days. They only have 2 games left the rest of this week. My guess would be OG's back for at least one of those, so maybe we don't need to worry about this too much. Now, if he misses another one, like you go into Denver, I think you probably see Precious Achiuwa back in there because they'd want him to deal with Aaron Gordon. Dante DiVincenzo is not going to be able to deal with Aaron Gordon. No one in the Knicks starting five could deal with Gordon because Hartenstein would have been on Jokic. So I think they would go bigger for that one. Now, if OG's back, he probably just deals with Gordon. So you can't do much with it right now. You got to wait a day, 2 days, whatever. We'll get our next report on Anunoby and go from there. In the meantime, I'm also not picking up McBride. Deuce, nice ball game. When he gets these giant minutes, obviously, like anybody playing 46 minutes is going to post fantasy value. But I can't imagine that this happens again. At least not, like, immediately. This is the, you got 2 days off to rest, kid. Get in there. Meanwhile, I severely underestimated how much Trayce Jackson-Davis was going to play in the Warriors' next ball game. Some of it is because Moses Moody went down. Some of it is, frankly, because Draymond Green wasn't playing very well. So, Warriors were trying some stuff. Some of it's because Andrew Wiggins wasn't playing very well. And so they, you know, Steve Kerr, to his credit in this one, he's been killed for, you know, maybe not using his younger guys frequently enough. He was hunting for a lineup that was working. Go figure it out. And they traced Jackson Davis minutes. He was a plus six, so he got extra run. And it was a big one, 19 and 9 with 3 blocks. I continue to think that he probably slowly trends the other way, but he's hot as hell right now. And, you know, you guys know my feeling on playing hot players. I don't think that Trayce Jackson Davis just sort of like turned a corner when Steph Curry got hurt. And now suddenly he's a guy that's guaranteed 23, 24 minutes of ball game. I also understand that saying that while he's actively having a monster game makes me sound like the biggest fuddy-duddy on planet Earth. But just be aware. If you're going to use him, say, against a Roto Games cap, be aware that he could play 9 minutes in their next ball game against the Grizzlies. Although the Grizzlies, you know, which iteration of them you're going to get, probably the one that has real players in it. So maybe he does get to run if these other units stink, because like Andrew Wiggins, I think I called him a member of the Doesn't Matter fan club. It might be worse than that. I think you can drop Wiggins. I think you can do better with that roster slot. Frankly, I think you can do better. And I don't know how many people are saying this because I don't have time to listen to what other analysts are talking about. But I think Draymond Green is a drop. He's just not good anymore at fantasy. I know he's number 113 overall on the year, and that's fine. And like if you're punt points, then he's playable. But he's also kind of a doesn't matter level guy, ultimately. I think we're past the time in Draymond's career where he's inside the top 100. I'm going to hold on to Chris Paul. I know his minutes have been weird the last couple of ball games, but I still, like, there's enough upside there to hold on. Clay, you're holding. That's an easy one to say after he has a good ball game. Podziemski, you're dropping. Kuminga, you're holding. There's your Warriors. Ta-da, the Aristocrats. Atlanta went into L.A. after playing in L.A. and got defeated by the Lakers and probably L.A. nightlife. They had 9 3-pointers. They took a lot, but they didn't make very many. DeJounte Murray was, tired? Didn't have a very good ball game. Jalen Johnson was great. He turned an ankle late in this one. The game was already a blowout, so it didn't impact his minutes. The good news is that he did come back out and sit on the bench for the end. The bad news is it wasn't a great ankle tweak, and he's just coming back from an ankle tweak. And so you have to assume that they're going to be kind of careful. The better news, as we go back and forth between good and bad news, the better news is that they're off for 2 days. So if there's ever going to be a chance for him to come back without missing a game, it would be with a 2-day break before they play in Phoenix against the Suns. So you might actually get a full Jalen Johnson week. Cross your fingers, sacrifice a chicken or whatever the line from Bull Durham was. Onyeka Okongwu back, finally, and looked pretty good, actually. He looked a little slow and a little rusty, and nobody tends to have great games against Anthony Davis, but this is pretty good, by all accounts. 19 minutes, 11-4 with 2 steals on good field goal percent. Missed his free throw, typically okay there. What I'm interested in, and this game, again, was over early, so it's hard to get a great feel for what the minutes were going to look like, and the Lakers were actually playing some defense, which was incredibly surprising. They tend to struggle with, honestly, they tend to struggle with guys like DeJounte Murray, but they ended up struggling a bit more to guard Jalen Johnson yesterday. What are we doing with Atlanta? You guys are all like, stop talking in circles, Dan. Clint Capella's a hold. Bogdan Bogdanovic is a hold. DeJounte Murray, obviously. Jalen Johnson, obviously. Okongwu, I'm adding in roto formats. Head-to-head, I'm not adding because they only have 2 games the rest of the week. They go into a 4-game week next week. So if you wanted to add on Thursday, it's not going to help you much this week, but it would help you through multiple additional weeks should your fantasy season continue to that point. And then DeAndre Hunter is a guy that I'm a little bit worried about now. So I think he's probably going to be fine, but you're also seeing this is the Hunter back and forth. When he runs hot, he puts up a lot of points on a lot of mid-range jumpers, and he can roll sort of top 60, top 80 range on that. When he cools off, it turns kind of sour because he doesn't do that much other stuff. So if you want to use that roster slot for someone else, I'm actually totally fine with it. I do think that eventually Okongwu is going to play some more power forward minutes for this team. That'll slide Jalen Johnson down. That'll probably squeeze Hunter a little bit. So if you want to drop DeAndre Hunter, that's fine. I don't mind. I don't think he's a must-hold player head-to-head with a bad schedule. For sure, Roto, you're sort of hunting points and decent percentages. Otherwise, eh. And then the Lakers, decent games out of the 4 main guys. That's really where you're at with this team when they're healthy. That's it. You know what I liked seeing for the Lakers yesterday? And this isn't really fantasy relevant, but I liked seeing Max Christie actually get to play a little. He's like the only dude on that team with bounce. Okay, Rui's got a little bounce. And obviously Anthony Davis has a little bounce. But everybody else is so slow and near the ground. That whole team, that Lakers team can't jump. It's why they get out-rebounded so hard every game. Let's see some more Max Christie, damn it. I like that kid. Good catch-and-shoot three-point dude. He can rebound okay from the small guard position. I want more Max. I think for the Lakers, if they're getting a stinker of a game out of Dinwiddie or Torian Prince, you got to try Max Christie on a night like that. Doesn't matter for fantasy. D'Lo tied Nick Van Exel last night for the most 3-pointers in a season for the Los Angeles Lakers. He will, of course, provided he doesn't now suddenly, he didn't get hurt, so I see no reason to say anything to suggest that he gets hurt in the near future. But provided he plays, I would think, in even one more basketball game, D'Lo breaks that record. And it doesn't get said enough, but D'Angelo Russell might be the best 3-point shooter in Los Angeles Lakers history. Isn't that nuts? And that's not to say that he's like, he has tenure. But you go back, you know, 30 years, people weren't really, that wasn't a thing. Shooters weren't stepping that far out. That's 40 years, I guess. Good Lord, I'm old now. So Nick the Quick, Nick Van Exel, great outside shooter. And the Lakers since then have had some decent ones, but no one has ever been just consistently raining in threes the way that Russell has this year. So tip of the cap to you, D'Lo. You're fun to watch. I don't know that there's many things more entertaining in basketball than when a player, because D'Lo is so streaky. When he gets hot, it's like crazy level hot. He'll just throw it in from anywhere. That's so entertaining. Hell of a season for D'Angelo Russell, and trying to give him a few, you know, upvotes here after another great ball game yesterday. What's his fantasy ranking now? We can get this on the fly. Where are you, D'Lo? Mid-60s still? Yeah, he ended up as a real draft day steal at the end of all. 64, 18, 6.5. The only thing you'd point out with him and say, hey, what happened here? He's only at 0.8 steals. Thought that might be more like 1 or 1.1. That would have moved him into a fifth round valuation. Also, by the way, 64 games for D'Lo this year. He's been healthy on top of everything else. Good stuff for D'Angelo Russell. All right, everybody. Big group of you following on Twitter today for whatever reason. I have no idea why it lands some days and not others. Not as many watching on YouTube. Finger wag. I'm going to do a quick check of the chat room before we wrap things up, but also before I do that, I want to remind everybody to check out our partners over at manscaped.com. Promo code there is ETHOS20, ETHOS20, gets you 20% off and free shipping on your order at manscaped.com. I need to use my Manscaped stuff. I need to use this one that I just held up on the camera. That's the handyman, the electric razor. I need to get the lawnmowers out from the medicine chest just right over there, and I got to tidy things up. My face is getting a little bit gunky. I also need to fix my, oh, that's not good. I'm trying to fix my light here, and it's, no, it's like making lines on stuff. I don't want to be a jerk and like blame my wife for anything, but she moved my light and now it looks all weird. Ah, well. Also, please do come. Well, because so many of you that are watching live are watching from Twitter, just make sure you hit the follow button while you're over there. Just click it. Some of you watching probably aren't following right now. Just quickly check. Make sure you are. If you're listening after the fact, come find me on Twitter. It's at Dan Vespris, D-A-N-B-E-S-B-R-I-S. And check out our baseball draft guide, available now at sportsethos.com. Joe Orrico and his incredible team have put together an awesome draft guide. Top 250, projections, a draft tracker, sleepers, dynasty, busts, draft recaps, pitcher profiles. It's the whole thing. And those of you that have the NBA pass already, you can upgrade to the All Sport for just $2 a month.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's see if anybody brought any stuff for the chat room that I haven't talked about. Thank you for the compliments, Jay on Twitter. You are most welcome. Let's see. If you're asking about streaming, just remember that we have another show coming up in about 15 minutes after I finish this one. And we'll talk about who to use for, good scheduling spots. So if your question is about that in this chat room, you can either throw it in the comments after and I'll get to it eventually, but I can't promise it's going to be super fast, especially today. I have a really tight schedule. Or just come on over to our second show today, which, by the way, is a good reason for everybody to actually click subscribe on something. Subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is, so that way you make sure that the next time I'm live on here doing the streaming show, you guys are here for it. Do you think Tyler Hero is a hold? If you're in your playoffs, probably not. He still has no timetable. Okongwu or Olynyk, points league. Kelly Olynyk. Is Dante DiVincenzo a drop? I don't think so. Especially not with OG Anunoby in and out right now. He had 18 and 4 with a steal and 4 three-pointers and good percentages yesterday. He's absolutely a hold. Is Larry Nance a good 9-cat streaming option? Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about that more on our second show, but New Orleans is the only team with 4 games left, so sorta. How bad is the Naz Reid injury? We don't know yet. Sorry, we'll have to stay tuned on that one. Is it okay to drop Jalen Johnson or Io DeSumo for Trey Mann? No, Trey Mann actually just got ruled questionable himself, so I don't think you should do that. And if Jalen Johnson's back fast, he puts up huge numbers. Those guys are guys that are putting up big numbers here. TJ McConnell, Trace Jackson Davis, Jonas Valanciunas, Alex Caruso, Walker Kessler, Onyeka Okongwu. Who do you like out of these guys? Caruso, obviously. He's been great all year. Walker Kessler, I think he's set to have a really nice finish. And then I'd probably go Valanciunas. I know he's been bad lately, but he's safer than the other guys. And then Okongwu and then McConnell and Jackson Davis. Jackson Davis is at the bottom for me still. I still am not fully trusting him, and I might regret that. Anyone dropping Mike Conley after the 2 games? Nah, man, he's still got 2 more the rest of the week. I think you can find a better drop. Is Justin Champagne an ad in ESPN points leagues? I don't think so. I think Kuzma's back, so I'm tempted to say no. I'd like to see Champagne do it if Kuzma's in before I believe that this is a thing that can actually stick long term. Chris Paul or Trace Jackson Davis tomorrow against the Grizzlies? I think I'd go Chris Paul. Should I drop Wiggins for Keon Ellis? I don't care who you pick up, but yes, I think Wiggins is droppable. Are you always live on YouTube? I try to be. Yeah. And this show will be on YouTube, and then you can also just listen to it back on traditional pod channels. It gets posted as Fantasy NBA Today on all pod places, so if you ever miss it live, that's an easy way to do it. Fast. I know it's easy, like those apps, you can play them in the background and stuff. It's easier than a YouTube app. You don't have to use as much data because there's no video. And it's easier for us to monetize the traditional pods. YouTube is tougher. YouTube's monetization program is pretty wimpy. All right. Drop Scoot or Banton in a points league? I mean, why? What are you gaining? They still have 3 games left the rest of this week. Drop somebody who only has 2. You can add 2 games to your ledger that way. You're gaining very little by dropping a player who has 3 games for likely someone else who has 3 games or a bad New Orleans Pelicans option. I will be in your streams more looking for... I've been looking for Fantasy Basketball Channel. Awesome! Happy to have you, bud. Just make sure you find some place to subscribe and listen back, and I'm trying to be pretty active on Twitter. I'm not great at responding anymore because the messages come sort of too fast and too furious, and I got way too many things going on. But happy to have you, and happy to have all of you along. almost 800 of you watching live on social media today. That's pretty wild. So thank you for that. Paul Reed or Kelly Olynyk rest of this week? Olynyk, you know me and my Kelly love. Kelly love. That's what we should start calling this show. Welcome to Kelly Love, a Sports Ethos presentation. I'm Dan Vespers, at Dan Vespers on social media if you guys are looking for me over there. Still doing stuff on Twitter every day. Trying to get all of our best schedules, worst schedules, quick hits, streamers, storms. Still doing the storms out there. Trying my best. I got to admit, I'm getting tired, but I can make it to the end of the year. We're almost there. Let's keep winning. I'll be back in 15 with a streaming show, so sit tight. Make sure you're subscribed. That way you get it. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.